We've caught up with Dean Vandermeer from Set Free Ministries, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the issue of trauma and the effect of it on a person, and really how Set Free Ministries kind of intervenes in a situation where they can help break the cycle of the difficulties that come as a result of trauma and what it actually is. Dean, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, I think what is interesting to note is that we are talking about an issue with of trauma in light of a number of mass attacks within the recent days in the United States. You know, if you've been looking at any of the news headlines, you've seen the shootings in Texas, the shootings in Ohio, another stabbing that was taking place actually within the last 24 hours, multiple stabbings, four people who were killed, two people who were gravely wounded. This is just one of those things where people start trying to really deal with the after effects of an attack or multiple attacks like this. So let me ask you guys, as we talk about the issues of what happens in the aftermath of these attacks, has Set Free ever dealt with the trauma that comes as a result of something like this?
We deal with people who have been traumatized often, sometimes early in life, sometimes in the middle of life, sometimes with current trauma. So we're dealing with people who have been hurt deeply often. And so, we deal a lot with trauma, especially overseas. I would say 90% of the children that we have in our, we have 17 Christian schools there, 90% of them have been sexually abused by witch doctors. That's trauma. So we have to know how to get through the trauma of what's happened, and then how that trauma can affect that person today and how they view the world, God, self, and others, and then how to move on from the trauma, the lies that were believed in the trauma. And remember, there's a dimension here that most secular society and mental health professionals are not discussing. They don't have a biblical worldview. They have a Western worldview. So the Western worldview is, I have a soul and I have a body. I have a psyche and I have a body. And so between my psyche and my body, we can hold on to some experiences that are very difficult to deal with. But the biblical worldview is there's a real enemy who has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers, and authorities. So when you look at it from a biblical worldview, you look at trauma as, okay, there's another realm that's influencing people who have been hurt and who are angry, who have been robbed of their joy. They say 25 out of 26 of the shooters that have been looked at in the backgrounds, they say 25 out of 26 shooters in recent years did not have a healthy relationship with their earthly father. So there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of abandonment. So, you know, hurt people hurt people. So, you know, everyone's trying to guess, you know, how is this going on? How is this happening today in the USA when this wasn't happening in the 50s and 60s? Well, in the 50s and 60s, we had families that were together. That's not the case anymore. Our families are being ripped apart. So a part of what we're dealing with is now the evil that is among us. Okay, so Scripture says if you let the sun go down in your anger, you're going to give the devil a foothold. That's real. So if you have angry young men who are angry at the world, they're angry at their circumstances, and they fuel that anger with some of the things that they see on TV and some of the music, the thrash music, and then they get the video games that do all the killing. All they're doing is they're building that anger up, and then they want to carry it out. So they fantasize about it, and then they go and do it. But there's a realm that's pushing on the back of that, on the backside of that, saying just do it, just do it, just do it. So you have to understand that, you know, from a biblical worldview point, there's things pushing on this. There's a spiritual dimension to all of this. So people who have been hurt probably and traumatized is, okay, what are the lies that we're believing right now because of this trauma? Like, it's my fault. A girl that gets raped, the first thing she thinks is, it's my fault. And her abuser will tell her that after he rapes her. You made me do this. I wouldn't have done it, but you dressed that way. So we deal with a lot of people who have been traumatized, and then they get lied to, and then they believe those lies, and then they get, we call it emotional arrestment. People who have been traumatized oftentimes cannot grow spiritually or emotionally past that time of trauma. So you have a lot of people who compartmentalize their pain and they hold it. So, yeah, we deal with a lot of traumatized people, but there's a different dimension to this and a different way to heal. And Jesus says, I've come to set captives free. So that's what we kind of do here is let's look at this spiritually, emotionally, and physically, and let's deal with the trauma that we're dealing with. So I don't know if that helps you, but some of what that's our take on it.
So let me back up a little bit and just kind of ask you to explain a couple of things here. You know, we're talking about trauma on the one hand. Let's say the people who've survived these attacks or lost a loved one in the shooting or witnessed it. Mm-hmm. And according to the statistics, so the research indicates that of the people, of 100 people who experience a trauma like this, 25% develop PTSD. What is that? How does that differ from trauma? Traumatic event.
Well, PTSD is it's a psychological situation where you're holding it in now, and it's repressed, and there's anxiety, there's fear, and it's fight or flight. Right? We have a fight or flight syndrome, and that gets triggered, and oftentimes that's deep within the psyche where people hold that in. That's why you have a lot of guys coming back from war who are triggered when 4th of July, they can't go to a parade. There's no way, because there's going to be fireworks set off, and they can't do that because it's going to bring back the memory of when they were in a situation that was very terrifying. So that's kind of the PTSD part of it, is that it's a held memory, and it's fight or flight, and it triggers that mechanism. So that's what happens with traumatized victims who, those people that were at the event. When they hear a loud bang again, that's going to bring back the horror of all the people watching people drop and get shot. It's going to re-trigger that memory, and then all the fear, all the anxiety, lies. That's all going to be put in front of their face, and what you have to do is Jesus says, "I've come to heal the brokenhearted, set the oppressed free." And so oftentimes we have to go through a process called forgiveness and releasing some of this pain instead of holding it. Because when you hold the pain, you just suppress it, right? So if I have unexpressed emotions that I suppress and push down, that creates depression. I'm holding something down. I'm pushing it down. Everyone wonder why King David did what he did when he was in midlife. Why did he take Bathsheba? Why did he do things like that? And I've heard some teachings on, well, think of what happened when he was anointed king. When Jesse had the lineup of all of his brothers, David wasn't even invited to the lineup. He wasn't even there. He wasn't even considered a son. He was out to pasture. Right? And Samuel said, is this all your sons? And Jesse said, well, there's one more. There's the boy. So it seems to me that even King David had some issues that were deep-seated, and that's why in Psalm 51, he said, Lord, search my heart, search my inmost being. Make me know wisdom in the inner place, in that hidden part. Make me to know wisdom. So obviously there was some trauma in David's life that was unresolved that caused all kinds of trouble midlife. So that's some of the PTSD stuff that can come back, and those are some of the things from childhood and even from today that we can suppress and hold on to and not deal with. But the best thing you can do is get it out in the open and get it into the light instead of holding it in the darkness.
Now, obviously, it's not something that happens overnight, but how does Set Free Ministries help people process and overcome trauma?
Well, we look at the symptoms. There's all kinds of symptoms. You know, there's shock, denial, disbelief. There's confusion. There's anger. There's anxiety, fear. what people do when they feel that way is they usually, normally, they numb the pain. And the most common drug in the world is alcohol. It doesn't matter if we go to India, Africa, Dominican Republic, or USA. The number one drug is alcohol. So people start drinking to numb the pain and their fear. So when we start to see symptoms where there's a lot of alcohol abuse and there's a lot of fear and pain and irritability, and it's kind of like, okay, the presenting problem is not the problem. There's a deeper issue going on. And so it's kind of like there's usually a taproot issue that's just unresolved. So I'll just give you an example. We had a woman in here a few weeks ago who had to leave her college. She was an alcoholic, and she had lost everything. She couldn't hold on to a job, and she was homeless. And so she came here for help, and nobody was able to help her. And I learned a little bit about her story, is that she watched her father get shot in a war over in Africa, and her mother ended up in an IDP camp. And in IDP camps, there's a lot of abuse going on. And so I just asked about that. I says, were you abused as a child in an IDP camp? And the tears started coming. And they kept coming and they kept coming. Well, she had never told anybody. And she's midlife now. And so we opened that up. And I said, the Lord is able to heal. And there is no darkness with him. Darkness is not dark to him. Can we give Jesus the pain that you've been carrying all these years? And she just melted and bawled. I said, if I were you, being treated the way you were treated as a little girl, I'd be mad at God, I'd be mad at my abuser, and I'd be mad at my mom for not protecting me. And she says, that's exactly it. That's who I hate. I said, okay, let's bring it to Jesus, because he paid for all that sin that was done to you and all those people that you hate, right? God didn't do it. He grieves. Your abuser doesn't even think of you anymore, and it wasn't your mother's fault. Can we forgive? Can we release the pain to Jesus? She did it. She accepted Christ, and she got saved, and she left here a different person, radically different person, filled with love, joy, and peace. And her father was waiting for her after several hours, and he goes, what just happened in there? He says, I haven't seen her smile like this in years. I said, well, all the lies and all the pain has been resolved because she's encountered Christ, and he's the healer.
What do you want people to do with the stories like this? How can they be praying for people who are struggling with this, these issues? What's the first step? You know, what do you want people to do with this story?
Okay. Number one, Satan's number one trick. Satan has tricks, right? His first trick with Adam and Eve, tempt, 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 tempt. Get you to do something you shouldn't do. And if you do it, then he's going to cover you with shame and guilt. You're bad. God's mad. You're bad. Run and hide. So Satan's number one tick is his trick is temptation, and blaming God for what happened. Because when Adam was confronted by God of Adam, where are you? What have you done? And it's the woman you gave me. So Adam blamed God for the situation, and he blamed Eve. He didn't want to own it. No, Adam, you were the spiritual leader, so don't isolate. Don't run and hide. God can handle our failures, and he loves us and pursues us even when we've done wrong. And when we've had wrong done against us, he understands and he weeps over it. So you have to understand that God gave man free will. And what I tell a lot of rape victims of, did God stop Cain from killing Abel? Why not? Because Cain had free will to do something good or evil, because that's the tree that we bit from. God did not remove that from us. And so he rebuked Cain for his bad countenance and for his anger and his envy and his greed of Abel. But at the end of the day, he allowed Cain to kill Abel. So let's take the things that have hurt people, hurt people. Let's take the things that have hurt us, that have caused us trauma, that have caused us all kinds of pain, and let's get it into the open So when we do prison ministries all over the world, the first question I ask is, how's it going here? And they all say, it's going great. And I said, no, it's not. You're all prisoners. You're all captives, every one of you. It's not going okay. And they're going, yeah, I guess it's not. And then the next question I ask is, tell me about your daddy. And they all look at me like they're angry. I says, yeah. I says, now, here's the next question. How many of you, raise your hands if you were drunk or on drugs when you committed the crime that put you in jail, raise your hands. It's usually 90%. Now, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Don't let the sun go down. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So the enemy wants us to medicate our pain, isolate and medicate. Because if we medicate our pain with drugs and alcohol, then we're going to do really stupid things. So the best thing we can do is get this out in the open, get among some brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's confess our sins one to another, and let's be healed. You there?
Yeah. No, I was just waiting to see if you had more to add to that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had someone calling in, so I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah. No.
Don't isolate, and let's cry out to God, but let's do it in the context of the body. Let's confess our sins. It's James 5:16. If we confess our sins one to another, we get healed. Proverbs 28:13. He who covers sin will not prosper. He who confesses and renounces will find mercy. So traumatized victims oftentimes cover up the sin that was done to them, and in doing so, they get weighed down with the weight of that the horror and the evil that was done to them, and that causes the depression. So the best thing you can do is bring that out into the open, and let's get it in the open, and let's get it in the hands of Jesus who paid for it.